before my diagnosis, I had noticed a lump that wasn't unlike another solid piece of tissue in my breast. And so having been reassured by a GP that there was nothing untoward with the original mass or whatever it was, I gaily went along not thinking too much about this other thing. And it was suggested to me that I go and have it looked at. And so I went to the GP, who referred me straight away for a mammogram. So I saw my GP, who asked me in what way this breast had changed, and so I explained, and she had a look, and she examined me, and then she said that she would refer me straight away for a mammogram and ultrasound. And that's what happened. So my mammogram was, I think, about 2 weeks after that GP consultation. And so I went along to the hospital to the mammogram. I went on my own because I didn't want to worry my family if there was nothing to worry them for or about. So I went along and I had the mammogram. And then immediately afterwards, I saw the consultant radiologist who did the ultrasound. And while I was on the table there, she took tissue for biopsies. And during that consultation, the staff were organising for me to have an MRI the following day. And then the day after that, I was due to see the surgeon. Whilst I was in the ultrasound, having the biopsies taken, I was aware that it was quite serious, and the consultant indicated to me that it was likely to be cancer. So that was quite worrying, obviously. I felt fine. I felt like I was coping at that time, even though I know I was crying. And I was aware that the radiographer was in the room where I was, and therefore I was worried that the other patients in the waiting room weren't having their mammograms. And so when I asked the question about the clinic and holding the clinic up, the consultant told me that I was the most important person at that time and not to worry about that. So, yes, and they were extremely concerned that I was on my own, and they were quite worried about, you know, letting me go on my own. But I, at that time, as I say, even though it was emotional, I was fine in myself, really. It's a very odd thing to say, but I was fine. I wasn't crying all the time. You know, it's a bit like shock, isn't it, when you cry but you're smiling. So the diagnosis was confirmed 2 days after my mammogram and ultrasound by the surgeon, who told me, this is what you've got, this is how we're going to treat you, and this is what I expect to be saying to you in a year's time from now. And after that, the dark places that I had been to in those couple of days, I was not going to on such a regular basis. So the first place I went to that afternoon after my ultrasound was actually work. I drove to work and I told my boss and I told my immediate colleague, and we told one other person as well. And then there was a strategy developed on how we might deal with the immediate hospital appointments, because I wasn't really wanting to worry my mother. She's no spring chicken, although she likes to think she is. And then, having worked out that strategy, I then established that my sister was actually visiting my mother's, and so I drove to my mother's that afternoon to tell them. It was quite difficult. Well, it wasn't difficult telling them to sit down, but it was difficult getting them to sit down, because they obviously weren't expecting me to say anything serious. So it was just, I was just calling in, you know, with maybe some eggs or something that I promised my mother. And so in the end, I had to say quite firmly, just, please, I don't want a cup of tea at the moment. Just, can we just sit down? So, and then I just said, this morning I went for a mammogram, tomorrow I'm going for an MRI, and on Thursday I'm seeing the surgeon. My mother said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I think my sister was just completely gobsmacked. I still felt fine. I still felt fine. I wasn't upset. I wasn't crying. I don't recall that I was crying. I was asked by my mother why I hadn't told her before, and so I told her that I, you know, didn't want her to worry, and that if it had all been fine, if they had said, oh, that's just normal breast tissue, just like this other thing, you know, there wouldn't have been any problem at all. So my sister came with me when I had the MRI, and my sister and my mother came to see the surgeon. So that evening, after the ultrasound, I went home, and I can remember sitting on my bed, looking around, thinking about what was in my house, what's in my garden, and I must get my house in order, as it were, because I might not be here at Christmas, you know, worst case scenario. And then, because I had no idea at that point how things were going to go, having not seen the surgeon or received the diagnosis, and then, you know, in the next breath it would be, oh, get a grip, you know. If you're going to go, it might not be that quick. And it's a very difficult thing to explain. And then the other thing, of course, you know, where else has it gone, and has it gone anywhere else, and you know, how can it be that big and have not gone anywhere else? So yes, I did go to some very dark places, and then came back again on this roller coaster of dread and hope over a period of 72 hours, I suppose, until I saw that surgeon, who then said, this is what you've got, this is how we're going to treat it, and this is what I expect to happen to you. And I just believed him, accepted it, and decided that I must go for it, because you do not have, you do have another choice, but that wasn't mine. The other thing I should mention is that I also had a CT scan. Now that was maybe a couple of weeks after my diagnosis. It was delayed because they were so busy, but that was maybe the most stressful time in the anxiety stakes, because obviously I didn't know what to expect. I'm no stranger to seeing people who have got cancer or whatever, being in contact. I'm no stranger to the NHS, really, although not in a clinical way. So I wasn't really fazed even by the word cancer. It still doesn't faze me, and I don't have this view that I hate cancer. It's a very strange way that I look at it. But I was very anxious in the couple of days leading up to the CT, because it was that dread that it's gone somewhere else. But the consultant did say to me that if it had gone anywhere else, that the drugs that they were going to give me would get rid of it. So I felt a lot better about that, really. So I then had chemotherapy, followed by surgery, followed by radiotherapy, and followed by Herceptin. And before my surgery, I think I was started tamoxifen. So the chemotherapy I had was what they call FECT, which was three treatments of a combination of drugs, the letters FEC, and then Taxol or Taxotere on its own for three treatments. The treatments were 3 weeks apart, and I think that goes for about, 5 months or so. It went from May until August. They were administered in the hospital in a suite consisting of about six chairs. It became a social experience. I didn't suffer any real side effects while it was going through me. I got what they call a steroid rush when you've sat still for too long or something, when you're not used to sitting still for long periods, because I had been quite physically active before all this. And compared to other things that have happened to me, it wasn't really a huge deal for me. I haven't researched myself into what these drugs are and what they do specifically. I was prepared to lose my hair. That wasn't an issue for me. It was quite interesting, because in previous years I've been very upset when I've had my hair cut short. I've never liked it. And actually, I didn't shave it all off. I just let it fall out by itself over a period of time. When I'm asked what the drugs consist of, I have absolutely no idea, except that they're poison. They knock out probably every thing that keeps you going. Every cell in your body will be affected by it at one time or another during this treatment, of course, because that's why they give it to you, to kill this cancer. But in order to kill the cancer, they have to kill other healthy parts of you as well. And basically, it's poison. The chemo was administered intravenously. They had trouble sometimes with my veins, because I'm quite cold generally, so they had to warm me up. But once in, it was fine. They gave me things like steroids and anti-sickness pills and medication to take to combat the side effects. So in that regard, I consider myself quite lucky that they've done enough research in the past to establish how much of all this you need, because I wasn't sick at all. I didn't feel sick at all. I felt tired after the chemo day, but then the steroids would like lift me up and put me on a high. So it was they did what they could for me to maintain my normal routine, if you like. The steroid I had with the FEC part of the treatment, which was the first three, that kicked in, I think, on the Sunday night, Monday morning. And that would have me gradually going on a high until the Thursday evening. I would feel like I was walking on air. I would have some kind of motion thing, so it would have been difficult for me to drive. Not so bad the first time, but then the effects were cumulative, and the second time I didn't drive at all. And I felt quite bloated. Of course, these might have been effects of the actual chemo, but I put them down to the steroids. And I would get this high where I just, you know, you're just buzzing, you can't stop, and it's very difficult to sleep. And then on the Thursday night, about 9 o'clock, it would reach a crescendo where you think, oh, I really can't cope with this anymore. You know, I just need to even just lie down. I'm lying down and I'm still whirring. And then all of a sudden, as fast as it came, it would just disappear. And the Friday morning, I would feel fine. So then I'd have 2 weeks of being normal until my next infusion. And then it would start again on that conveyor belt type way. And then the second chemo drug, which was the Taxotere, I think, that affected me in a different way because the steroids were administered differently. So I had to start the steroids earlier and they didn't go on for so long. So that drug, I put it down to the drug, not the steroids this time, but that drug affected me probably Monday. So I would have a good weekend, whereas before I'd probably be quite tired over the weekend or take it easy. So I'd have a good weekend because I was taking these steroids. And then on the Monday, about lunchtime, I would just want to lie down, couldn't do anything. And that was the lethargy that I acknowledged that people talk about, where you actually can't do anything even if you want to, and so you might as well just let it take over and go with it. And you know, if the housework needs doing, it's tough. If something needs to, you know, unless it's really, really serious, just let it go, because there is nothing that you can do about it. So I had on this Taxotere, the first thing that happened during that first cycle was on the Wednesday evening, I developed a temperature, which of course is quite dangerous for people on chemotherapy. So I phoned the helpline and I spent Wednesday and Thursday nights in the hospital, receiving, first of all, antibiotics by IV for the first, I don't know how many hours, but they, you know, that stopped. And then they were given orally. And I was allowed home on the Friday afternoon evening. I had, I think, developed the neutropenic sepsis, but they couldn't tell where the infection was. It was just an infection. So that was dealt with quite quickly, and I decided on the second cycle that I would be more prepared, and that, you know, maybe this temperature was brought on by me trying to do too much when I should have just been going with the flow. So I decided that I would just not do as much. My temperature did try to creep up again on the Wednesday evening, but I managed to, by about 1 o'clock in the morning, it had gone back down again, so I didn't call anybody. And I think the third cycle I did call, and they just said to me, if it goes up anymore, you know, just call, come straight in, because you're on our books, just come straight in. But I didn't, because it subsided again, so that was fine. The other thing that I would say was, during this time, you know, we had a very hot summer, so obviously I was feeling very hot anyway, and quite uncomfortable at times. That chemo, the Taxotere, affects the smooth linings of your cells, so I had problems with my digestive system and I had problems with the whites of my eyes, which became very bloodshot. Alternatively, one eye the first treatment, the other eye the second, and then, funnily enough, both on the third, and it really became quite difficult. And then, of course, my nails, which had been as long and strong as they'd ever been, then suddenly, towards the end, I think it was actually after the last treatment, they decided to break and flake and do weird things, but not as bad as I know that some people have experienced, though I was actually quite lucky overall. While I was receiving chemo over that period of time, from I think not long after the first treatment, it seemed to me there was a difference in the way that I could feel my lump. And over the course of the chemo, I was aware that it was shrinking. They give you an MRI halfway through to see how it's responding to the drug. And true enough, it had shrunk. So that was good news. So the surgery consisted of, this is how I describe it, they take the nipple off, and through the hole that they've made through doing that, they excavate the breast, take all the tissue out, and they take a strip of, or for me, they took a strip of skin from my back underneath effectively my bra strap, and they then pull some of the muscle, your pulling muscle in your back, and they pull it through from underneath your arm through and across the inside of your breast and attach it there, so that creates a form. And underneath that I have an implant. I also have a slight incision under my armpit because they needed some more room. My nipple probably wasn't big enough. and of course they took my lymph nodes from there as well. So I have a slight scar on my back and I have a circle the size of maybe a 10 pence piece or something of skin from my back on my front. And that skin covers the hole where the nipple was. And then in time, they will generate a nipple out of some other skin that is taken, I think, from the groin. And then they will tattoo that to make it look just like the other one. And I've seen previous examples, and they look very good. So immediately after the surgery, I think it took a few minutes for me to settle down. I think I was a bit agitated, but I think that maybe that was the anaesthetic. I don't know. I had oxygen for quite a while afterwards, but I was well enough to have a cup of tea and a biscuit or some toast or something, I think it was, at about, 8:30 that evening, 9:00, something like that. And then the following morning, I got up out of bed. Oh, I had painkillers, but the nurse had said to me, this is on you choose your own level of pain. It's on one of those things that you press yourself. And so I kept it pressed. And there was a time where they came to me and said, you can't have any more. Are you in pain? And I'm saying, no, but the nurse told me to keep pressing this. So, rather than have the pain, I'm just pressing for the drugs. So that was okay. But I didn't actually feel any real pain. There were some sharp stabbing kind of, if that was pain, sharp stabbing pain, which I think was down to fluid shifting. But I didn't really feel any real pain. Stiffness, yes. Pain, no. I was fine. I was positive. I was upbeat. I was happy. I did my exercises. The physiotherapist came to see me, I think, the day after the operation with exercises to do. I think in doing one of those exercises, I pulled one of my stitches under my arm, but, you know, no one's going to see it, so it doesn't really matter. I was quite physically active before all this started, so I used to get up and carry my drains in the little bag that they give you and walk the corridors, you know, two or three times a day, because sitting still I just get the fidgets. So yes, that was another thing, you know, when you're sitting still before the treatment started, I did used to have this odd feeling that there was something happening inside me over which I had no control, and that would give me the fidgets too. So after the operation, I used to have this routine of going for a walk around the hospital corridors. And, of course, doing the exercises that the physiotherapist had said to do, because the last thing I wanted was for me to have anything like a frozen shoulder or anything like that, because, you know, I want to get back into the exercising, and I don't really want to be compromised any less than is necessary. So approximately 8 weeks after my operation, I had radiotherapy, which consisted of 3 weeks every day. Not very long, a few seconds in, I think, three places. But it was the idea of the radiotherapy that was the thing that caused me most upset, which is really strange, because it's my perception that other people find that quite easy, and I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell anybody that I was having it. Every time I did talk about it, I got quite emotional, and I still don't know why that happens, but it happens. Still happens when I talk about it, not so much, but it still happens. And I think maybe it's to do with the fact that you're on your own in that room with that machine, and if anything is going wrong with that machine, you don't know it. And you know, this machine is doing something to me, but I don't know. I can't see it. I can't smell it. Some people apparently can smell what's happening. And it was just completely alien to me, and I really didn't enjoy that part of it. The only side effect from the radiotherapy was a more sensitive skin. So some women apparently develop, maybe other patients as well, develop a sensitivity to the lanolin that's contained in a lot of the moisturizers. And so I developed a rash, which went when I applied aloe vera gel. My skin is quite sensitive now in terms of using the right shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers. You know, I have to be quite careful, but I did have sensitive skin in the first place. But I think this just made it slightly more prone. So with my last chemotherapy treatment, I received my first treatment of Herceptin, which goes on until July on a three-weekly basis, as the chemotherapy did. I have someone come and give that to me at home, so that's easier. I have been told that I look quite pale in the evening afterwards, and I do get a little tired, although we're not sure if that's actually the drug going in or the fact that I'm sitting there for an hour and a half and lots of waiting around and things. But generally I take it easy over the weekend that I have it, and I also am taking tamoxifen. And that's all. I'm swimming, I've been told I can run, just make sure I don't bounce around too much, have a good sports bra, and generally I'm getting on with everything really that I used to do before. I am stiff in my shoulder. It comes and goes. I have good days and bad days. Some days I won't notice it. Some days it will be there all day. But I do my exercises and I try and do just as much as I was before. If not, you know, I mean, I'm not running huge different distances, but I have started back out slowly. I was quite concerned about the prospect of having lymphedema. The surgeon did tell me that it was likely that I would get some, although, you know, I might not get much. I do have the tiniest bit. It's not immediately noticeable. If I point it out to people, they say, oh, yes, I can see that. And it stops. It stops. It's in one area of my forearm and it stops before it gets to my wrist. So therefore, I'm quite thankful that I don't have it in my hand at this point. That could change. I'm quite aware that that could change. But at the moment, I'm fine with it. When I was having the radiotherapy, I noticed that I did have cording, what they call cording, down my arm, which is some of the ligaments or the tendons or something. They stretch and it looks very strange. But, you know, these are small prices to pay for a life, which I'm enjoying. Well, the hospital staff and the professionals, I can't praise them highly enough for the way they looked after me. I know that I wasn't a huge burden when I was an inpatient because I didn't really need any real trauma care, really. I wasn't in pain. There were no complications from my surgery. It was really quite straightforward. You know, it was a big operation, yes, but it was really quite straightforward. And I really didn't want to be a burden to them anyway because they were busy enough as it was. I had a bit of an issue with the fact that I had been to a GP a while ago about a solid piece of tissue, or what felt like a solid piece of tissue. Well, firm, not solid, in that breast. And I, you know, in hindsight, I was concerned that I should have been referred then, because even if that wasn't the cause of this cancer, my cancer might have been detected earlier, or that might have been, you know, that turned out to be what they call DCIS, which apparently many women can live with for years and it not affect their health. And we don't know whether my cancer came from that or whether it was separate. However, if I had been referred, then the DCIS would have been dealt with, because I believe that they do that now. That's my perception. I could be wrong. But I also am aware that the treatment that I would have had if they had found the DCIS would have been probably very similar to the treatment that I've just recently had. And so, in that respect, it's still quite positive. So fitting in treatment with work in the beginning was quite easy because the drugs gave me a high, which meant I could keep going. I have a recollection that I didn't approach anything too taxing on the days where I was flying too high because I didn't want it to come back and hit me in the face later, you know, having made a mistake. So I think I managed quite well. During the second drug, the taxotere, things were a bit different. So I planned to be away for the week after I had. So for the first drug, I think I took the Monday, Tuesday and came in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And for the second drug, I just said, right, don't expect to see me for that week. The very first thing we did work-wise was to, I requested a laptop and access to things that I would need at home, should I need to work at home. So that was not too difficult, except that where I live, the broadband is not very fast, so that's a bit of a hindrance. Then I had my operation and I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 weeks. So I took those 6 weeks as sick leave. I just concentrated on, you know, getting better after the operation, becoming mobile. And then I came back as soon as I could drive, but I don't drive all the way to work now. I drive to a bus and get on a bus. I'm quite strict with myself about going home on time, whereas before I might have been a bit more flexible. I still have some flexibility, but generally I say, right, that's it, I've got to go, which is an education for me really as well. And now I feel I'm more or less back to normal. While I was having the radiotherapy, I was lucky enough that I work quite close to the hospital that administered the radiotherapy, so I would go into work in the morning and go for my radiotherapy in the afternoon and then get the bus home. My days were longer then than they are now back at work, so, and it, of course, you know, it was quite tiring, but now I feel a lot better. Now I'm doing, you know, as I said before, I'm doing the things that I was doing before. Unfortunately, the diagnosis was 5 days before I was due to run a marathon, so that was put on the back burner for a while. But I hope to be back there at least once, maybe, but not tomorrow. The main difference in my view of my body is the fact that I put on quite a bit of weight over the course of the chemotherapy treatment, really. The second drug, which was probably due to the fact that I wasn't so mobile as I had been before and not so active. I am trying to address that now, but it's very difficult. Because once it's on, it takes an age to get off. I don't like looking at my girth, but as far as my breast is concerned, it really doesn't look any different with a bra on. It really doesn't look any different with a bra off, except that it doesn't have a nipple. It just has a little round circle thing with a scar around it, you know, which is fading. You expect it, or I expected it, to be this alien thing, but actually, because the reconstruction is from within and they didn't take any of my skin away, the form from the outside is still me. And so I'm not self-conscious about my breast in any way at all. Obviously, I don't change in the public bit of any changing room. I go into the cubicle, and I don't shower publicly either, but I don't think that it would really bother me. It's more for everybody else, and the fact that people would probably stare that I don't do it, but I never did it anyway, so, you know, I've always been quite private, so that's fine. In terms of sensation, I don't have as much sensation on that side. I could draw a circle on my boob where the feeling stops, but it's not really a huge issue. I sometimes feel very stiff, but then I do my exercises, so, and, you know, it's only 7 or 8 months since my operation, so I'm hoping that things will better and settle down more. I think I would say that I am positive because the professionals gave me a positive outlook. If it had been the other way, I really don't know how I would be now. I have always got on with things in life, stressful or otherwise, because they need to be got on with. You know, you just have to do whatever comes your way, really. You deal with any given crisis in particular ways. I'm no stranger to stress. I think I manage things quite well, or I did. Last year, I might have not thought too much about the future, and I still am quite reserved about thinking about the future, because there's this little bit of maybe it's not real, you know. And don't take it all for granted, because it might not be. So my prognosis, I believe, is good. But there's, you know, I could get run over by a bus tomorrow. And so basically I just get on with things. I have a more of a reserved approach to everything, really. I tend not to get too wound up about things that I might have before. But then, you know, sometimes I do. Everyday life, things happen and you react. So I don't believe that outwardly I'm any different, but inwardly I feel I'm more reserved.